This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. They are the smallest collisions on Earth, but create some of the biggest mysteries. I'm talking, of course, about collisions between tiny subatomic particles, like the particle smashing they do over at the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland. As for the mysteries, experiments at the LHC have come up with a pretty puzzling result. The shattered remains left over after a particle collision, well, they just don't quite add up to what the prevailing theories predict. And those strange observations have occurred at a handful of other particle colliders, too, as detailed last month in the journal Nature. And all of this opens the door to some new exciting physics, maybe even new particles, if, that is, these experiments can be replicated, because particle physicists are notoriously picky about their proof when it comes to new discoveries. Joining me to talk about what we know and what we don't know is Pearl Sandick, Associate Professor of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Utah in Salt Lake. She joins us from a theoretical cosmology conference in Stockholm. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Sandick.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, you're welcome. Can you walk us through what this experiment was doing and what have physicists been smashing together and why what's coming out is so weird?
Yeah, so there are actually three experiments. One, as you mentioned, is at the Large Hadron Collider, so it's the LHC-B experiment. The LHC is the largest, the highest energy man-made collider in the world. The other two experiments were actually looking at collisions of electrons and positrons and collision energies that are much lower, so about 1/1000th of the LHC beam energies. So those other experiments are Bell in Japan and Babar in California. But all of them, what they're all looking for is you smash these particles together, you see what comes out at the end of the day, and if there are any particles that are left over, if the data doesn't match the standard expectation, then you might have found some new physics.
Mm-hmm. And so what was weird? What was the expectation that was not matched?
Yeah, okay, so what the experiments we're looking for are whether the standard model lepton, so you've probably heard of the electron, the standard model includes two other charged leptons, so one that's about 200 times heavier than the electron, that's called the muon, and another that's even heavier called the tau. And these three particles, the electron, the muon, and the tau, the only differences between them should really be their masses. So according to the standard model, they should both act the same way under the weak nuclear force. They should have the same types of interactions. And what they're doing is, in order to determine whether the electrons, muons, and taus feel the weak nuclear force in the same way, they smash these particles together, and then what they're looking for are some particles called B mesons. So these mesons are objects made of a quark and an anti-quark. And if one happens to be created in a collision, it's not going to stick around for very long. But at the end of the day, you'll have a final state that has maybe electrons, muons, or taus in it. And they look at the rates of those different productions of electrons, muons, and taus to see if they match the standard expectation. So what they found is that it turns out that all three of these experiments see more events with taus than you would expect from the standard model alone.
Wow. Does that mean...
Yeah, so...
Are people, you know, wringing their hands now about the standard model? Maybe it's...
Yeah, so that could mean that there's something else besides just the weak force, so something else besides just the standard model. But it's a little bit confusing because it's tough to reconcile these results with other results and find one model that kind of fits everything.
Yeah, that is the problem. It's been the problem for 100 years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But scientists, as I said, they're very picky, and they're not all believing these results yet, are they? They're not quite convinced.
Yeah, not completely. So these results have a statistical significance, and when you combine all three, so individually they have some deviation from the standard model expectation. When you combine all three, because they all three agree, you actually get a stronger result. But it hasn't quite risen to that gold standard level that we expect in particle physics in order to be able to complain to say that we have a new physics result. We're still kind of, we're waiting to see, but this is definitely an interesting indication.
Could this mean that there are other particles yet that are causing this that we have not discovered?
Yeah, so there are a couple possible explanations, and they all have to do with new particles, basically. So one of them is that you could have something that's like the weak nuclear force, but that the taus would feel differently than electrons or muons. So there's like a new particle that carries that new force, and we would call it a W prime, an analogy with the W boson that carries the normal weak force. So that's one possibility. A second possibility is that there's actually a new type of Higgs boson. So the Higgs that was discovered at the LHC in 2012 doesn't have any electric charge, but the particle that would be needed to explain these results actually does need to have an electric charge. So there could be a new charged Higgs boson that's maybe heavier, so heavy enough that we haven't seen it yet at the LHC. So that's a possibility. And the third possibility has to do with the fact that these events at all these experiments involve both leptons, so electrons, muons, and taus, and quarks. And so there could be some type of new particle that actually talks to both both leptons and quarks, and we would call that a leptoquark. And there are models of leptoquarks that might explain this as well.
Wow, talk about a particle zoo all over again.
Yeah, for sure.
What about dark matter? Could it be showing up here somehow, you know, because we don't know what it is?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so dark matter actually is related to this story, but in a kind of interesting way. So at this point, there's not an obvious connection, but it's certainly possible. And one of the things that might connect to these two anomalous, or this anomalous result with the need for dark matter, is something called supersymmetry. So there are a lot of symmetries in nature, like the laws of physics don't change with time. So we would say that they're symmetric under time translation. And it turns out that if you think about the mathematics that describes the particle physics that we understand, there's only one more like really different type of symmetry that you can add to the mathematics of the standard model. And that symmetry is a symmetry between particles with integer spin that we would call bosons and particles with half integer spin that we would call fermions. So if this symmetry, the supersymmetry, exists, then what that means is that at a minimum, there are twice as many particles as there are in the standard model alone. So if you add that many particles, it sounds like you're making things a lot more complicated, but at the end of the day, you actually get out some really nice consequences. So one is that one of those new particles could very likely be the dark matter, and it just happens to work out that you get like roughly the right amount of dark matter left over in the universe. Another interesting consequence is that the Higgs boson that was discovered is actually predicted within these models, but not only that, they predict extra charged Higgs bosons. And so those extra charged Higgses could be the things that are contributing to these anomalies from LHCb, Bell, and Babar. So it could be connected, but we really don't know yet.
I'm just, you know, sitting here with all these super particles swimming through my head. But back to where I was 40 years ago when I first started covering this is that we're back to more particles, super particles, other kinds of particles. You know, there's still no giant theory yet, is there, that will explain everything?
Not necessarily. I mean, we have to wait for the data to tell us what direction to look in, you know. But I think we're getting there. And also these types of experiments that are being done that look for anomalies, not necessarily just new particles, but that look for other indirect signals of new physics are really important.
And when you say new physics, what does that mean to a layperson?
It means any kind of new thing that is different from the standard model or beyond the standard model. So the standard model works really well, but there are some reasons why we know there's something beyond it, right? Mm. So the standard model only includes three of the four fundamental forces, right? Gravity is not included. Dark matter, and no explanation for dark matter is anywhere in the standard model. And so there are reasons why we think there's something else, and we just kind of categorize, I would call all of that new physics.
Do we have the right tools? I mean, do we need a bigger atom smasher, you know?
So, we have good tools now. Checking these results is going to be really key to see if this particular anomaly is the thing that's pointing us in the direction of new physics. And so there are a couple things that are needed, actually, to check this thing. One is that we need to make sure that the standard model calculation is actually really correct, because if you have the standard model calculation wrong, then, you know, a deviation from the standard model might not really be a deviation from the standard model. But the other thing is we need more data to see if the statistical significance does rise to that gold standard level where we're willing to say, yeah, this is a discovery of new physics. So both Babar is done operating, but Bell and LHCb are both upgraded, and they're going to give us a lot more collisions. And so that'll give us the data that we need to be able to determine whether this is a real signal. And actually, it'll give us some more information besides that, too. But that's a good start.
Okay, so we'll have to watch this space, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Sandick. Fascinating.
Yeah, thank you.
Pearl Sandick is Associate Professor of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Utah in Salt Lake.